Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be doing a deep dive into something pretty powerful, I think, the idea of waiting on God. We hear that phrase a lot, but what does it actually mean? Like, how does that play out in real life, especially when you're going through something really tough, when things feel impossible? So, to help us unpack all of this, we're going to be looking at excerpts from Waiting on God, Even When It Seems Hopeless, A Story of Faith.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And just a heads up to our listeners, we're going to be talking about resilience, about hope, and that inner strength that we all need when life, throws us those
It's a
curveballs.
universal theme, isn't it? I mean, this idea of waiting on God,
Yeah.
what that actually looks like, it's
Yeah.
something that people have been grappling with for centuries.
I love that you said grappling, because sometimes it does feel more like wrestling than resting,
Oh, absolutely.
The text we're looking at starts with this really powerful story of a woman named Alin, and she's going through just unimaginable grief after losing her husband. And to make matters worse, she's suddenly in a really tough spot financially, too.
Wow.
She's praying, she's seeking guidance, but it feels like every door is slamming in her face.
That feeling of being completely lost and alone. I mean, that's where a lot of people struggle, right? Because we're told to have faith and to trust in God's plan. When you're in the middle of suffering, it can be so hard to reconcile that with what you're actually experiencing.
Absolutely. And the text really captures Anna's raw emotion. At one point, she cries out, "God, where are you?" I mean, that feeling of abandonment, that desperate plea for some kind of sign, it's something that anyone who's faced hardship can relate to.
It's primal, almost. This deep-seated need to know that we're not alone, especially when things feel hopeless.
Yeah. Before we dive deeper into Anna's story, the text actually introduces this fascinating parallel from the Bible, the story of Joseph. Now, if you're not familiar, Joseph is this young man with big dreams. He's got incredible potential. And then he's betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery,
Oh no,
and
I'm
ends up imprisoned for years.
It's a classic example of how what we might see as a setback, could actually be part of this much bigger divine plan that we just can't see yet.
Okay, I'm already intrigued. So Joseph spends 13 years in captivity. 13 years. But the thing that I find so interesting is the text keeps emphasizing that the Lord was with Joseph throughout his ordeal. And I have to point this out. It doesn't say God rescued him or prevented his suffering. Instead, it highlights this unwavering presence, even in the midst of unimaginable hardship. So, okay, my brain is already buzzing because if God was with Joseph during those brutal 13 years, are we to understand that God is present during our own struggles, even when we feel completely alone?
It's a powerful question, and the text seems to suggest exactly that. It challenges us to think about what that presence might look like in our lives. Maybe it's a sudden intuitive nudge, like you get this feeling that you need to do something. Or maybe it's a chance encounter that leads to a new opportunity. Or even just
I agree.
feeling a sense of peace when everything around you feels chaotic. These subtle signs that often we only recognize in hindsight. But the text encourages us to look for them, to be open to them, even in the present moment.
Okay, so I'm already starting to see this waiting on God concept in a whole new light. It's not about passively sitting back. It's more about actively seeking those signs of guidance, those glimmers of hope that maybe we're on the right track. But how do we actually do that? How do we do that when we're in the throes of despair, like Anna in the story?
Well, that's where her story takes a really fascinating turn. We left off with Anna feeling completely lost and hopeless. But there's this pivotal moment in the text where she wakes up one morning and she's just overcome with this unexpected sense of peace. And she feels this nudge, almost like an intuition to go to the library. And
Interesting.
it's not about any specific book or anything. It's
It's
just
just go to the library.
go to the library.
It's like in one of those moments where logic goes out the window and you're just following your gut.
And I can almost picture her thinking, why the library? What am I even looking for? But she goes. And this is what I find so fascinating about this whole waiting on God thing. Sometimes the guidance that we receive, it just defies rational explanation. It's about surrendering to something bigger than ourselves, even when it doesn't make sense. So Anna goes to the library, and she has this chance encounter with a woman. And this woman's daughter owns a design company. And guess what? They are desperately looking for someone with Anna's exact skill set.
No way. Okay, that sounds like more than just a coincidence.
Right.
It's like all those weeks and months of feeling lost and directionless were actually leading her to this very moment.
It is. It is. It's the beauty of hindsight, right? Mm-hmm. We look back and we see how all of those seemingly random events were actually woven together into this meaningful tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's no wonder that the text uses Anna's story to illustrate this concept of God's perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge for us, of course, is to trust in that timing even when we're stuck in the waiting.
Right.
Even when we're feeling anything but peaceful.
Oh, I think that's what resonates with so many people, because we hear that phrase, God's timing is perfect. Mm. But when you're in the middle of a struggle, it can feel more like God's timing is non-existent.
Right.
And the text actually, it dives into some specific biblical verses that offer comfort and encouragement for those really tough moments. It didn't mention Isaiah 40.31.
It does, yeah. It reminds us that those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint.
Right.
And this verse, it's not just about like physical endurance.
Yeah.
It's about spiritual resilience.
Yeah.
It's about this idea that waiting on God, it's not passive. It's actually an active process of strengthening our faith and tapping into this deeper source of energy. You know, it reminds me of that saying, sometimes you have to go through the desert to reach the promised lands.
I love that analogy because, let's face it, waiting can feel like you're wandering through a desolate wilderness.
It can.
You're not sure which way to go and all you see is hardship. But this verse is saying that there's a hidden wellspring of strength available to us if we keep seeking it.
Absolutely. It's not about denying the difficulty of waiting, but it's about finding those spiritual resources that can help us persevere.
Yeah.
And, you know, the text also points to Lamentations 3.2526.
Okay.
Which encourages us to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we just like sit back and do nothing.
Right. It's more about...
Yeah, it's more about our inner posture.
Yeah.
Cultivating stillness amidst the storm.
Yeah. It reminds me of a time when I was facing a major career decision and I was so anxious. I was overthinking everything. I was trying to like force a solution. And then, you know, I was on this quiet walk in nature and it was like that verse just popped into my head. I remember I took a deep breath and it was like I was finally able to let go of the need to control everything. And then a few days later, the answer I'd been searching for, it just came to me like effortlessly. It felt less like I'd figured it out and more like I'd finally gotten out of my own way.
That's a beautiful example of how surrendering can create space for that clarity and guidance to emerge.
Yeah.
And it ties into this whole waiting on God thing.
Yeah.
It's about aligning ourselves with a deeper wisdom, trusting that even when we can't see the path, we're being guided.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of guidance, there's one more verse that the text highlights, Romans 8.28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Ugh. Oh, man, this verse always gets me right in the feels. It's like this cosmic reassurance that even when life throws us those curveballs, there's a bigger picture unfolding. Like there's a purpose being woven into the fabric of our experiences.
It challenges us to reframe our struggles.
Yes.
To see them not as these random acts of fate.
Right.
But as opportunities for growth, for transformation, and ultimately for God's purpose to be revealed in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't mean that we won't experience pain.
Of course.
Or doubt or even anger during those waiting periods. But this verse, it offers such a profound sense of hope.
It does.
It's a reminder that even in the darkest moments, we're not alone.
Yeah.
And that there is a divine force working to bring good out of every situation.
So we're back. And you know, this whole deep dive into waiting on God has really got me thinking differently about those times when life just feels stuck, you know, like those seasons where you're pouring your heart out, but it feels like absolutely nothing is happening.
Yeah, it's so easy to feel forgotten in those moments, like your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. But what if instead of viewing those periods as like a void, we see them as this fertile ground for something new to emerge?
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's like instead of focusing on what's missing, we shift our attention to that potential that's being cultivated beneath the surface.
Exactly.
It reminds me of a time when I was unemployed for several months. I was sending out resumes, networking, doing all the right things, but nothing was happening. I was starting to feel hopeless, like I was failing.
It's such a natural response, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, our culture is so obsessed with speed and instant gratification.
Right.
So when things take time to unfold, it's easy to get discouraged.
It is. And I remember questioning if I was even on the right path at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started shifting my thinking. Instead of obsessing over job applications, I decided to focus on some personal projects that I had been putting off. I started writing again, reconnected with some old friends, and even took a few online courses just for the fun of it.
Oh.
And it was like that time of waiting allowed me to rediscover parts of myself that I had totally neglected.
It's amazing how those waiting periods can be so transformative, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it wasn't just about finding a new job for you.
Yeah.
It was about becoming a more well-rounded person.
It really was. And you know what's interesting? Shortly after that period of like personal exploration, the perfect job opportunity just landed in my lap.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it was almost as if by allowing myself to just step back and refocus, I had become more aligned with what I truly wanted.
You know, it's like sometimes what we think are delays are actually detours.
Oh, interesting.
That are designed to equip us with the skills, you know, or the wisdom that we need to step into our full potential. It's like that saying, sometimes you have to get lost to find yourself.
I love that. Okay, so we've talked about the importance of shifting our perspective, embracing those divine nudges, and viewing waiting as a time for growth.
Mm.
But what about those doubts that creep in? You know, those moments when it feels like God is totally silent.
The text acknowledges that doubt is just part of being human.
Yeah.
It's what we do with that doubt that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Do we let it consume us, or do we use it as an opportunity to actually deepen our faith? You know, it's like refining gold.
Mm-hmm.
The heat of the doubt can actually purify and strengthen our belief system if we're willing to go through the fire.
That's such a great analogy. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one key message that you hope our listeners will take away?
If I had to sum it up in one sentence, I would say, God's silence is not his absence, and his delays are not his denials.
I love that.
It's this reminder that even when we feel lost and confused and we're not sure what the future holds, there's this divine force working behind the scenes, orchestrating events, guiding our steps, and preparing us for something greater than we can imagine.
Such an empowering message. It takes the pressure off us to figure everything out, to force those outcomes. Mm-hmm. Instead, it invites us to surrender to a power greater than ourselves, to trust that even in the waiting, even in the unknown, we are being held, we are being guided, and ultimately, we are loved.
And sometimes the most beautiful things in life, they unfold when we least expect them. A chance encounter, a sudden breakthrough, or a shift in perspective that changes everything.
Yeah.
Like with Anna's unexpected job offer and Joseph's rise to power after years of hardship, their stories remind us to stay open, to embrace the unknown, and to trust that even in the waiting, something extraordinary is being created.
So as you navigate your own journey, remember those inspiring stories, hold on to the verses that speak to your soul, and most importantly, trust that even in the silence, God is working. His delays are not denials, and his presence is always with you. Keep the faith. Keep exploring, and until next time, happy diving.